Welcome to the meeting. Meeting begins.
Yes. All right. Well, those who care to join me in this. Oh, I got to make sure we're in it. Yeah. Join me in. Will those who care to join me in a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Hi, I'm Chris from Seattle.
Hi, Chris.
I've asked Naomi to read the keys to Essanon, keys to recovery. Keys, yes.
Hi, I'm Naomi. Over time, Essanon members learn to accept a number of new ideas. One, sexaholism is a disease very similar to alcoholism. At first, many of us could not accept this idea. For us non-members, it means that we see sexaholics as sick people, not bad people. They are powerless over lust. Two, the actions of the sexaholic are not a result of something we did or did not do, and we do not have the power to control their behavior. And three, our attempts to control or ignore sexual addiction led to a decline in our emotional health and may have enabled the sexaholic to continue to practice his or her disease. And four, when we first come to Essanon, we too are spiritually and emotionally ill. As we work toward full acceptance of these ideas, we begin to see our problems in a new light, and the awareness dawns that we do have choices concerning our own actions. This is the beginning of our recovery. We remind ourselves that we are powerless over the behavior caused by sexaholism. We ask a higher power to help us to stop blaming and trying to control the sexaholic. The sobriety of the sexaholic is not our responsibility. We realize we cannot find serenity for ourselves if we continue to focus on someone else's recovery, so we commit ourselves to our own recovery. With the loving help of other Essanon members and the God of our understanding, we take positive action to make our lives more serene and fulfilling. We attend as many meetings as we can, get a sponsor if possible, and begin to apply the principles of the 12 steps to our lives. We use the telephone, the Essanon literature, and the Essanon slogans. Eventually, we reach out to help others and try to carry the message of our own recovery. We do these things in our own way, one day at a time, striving for progress, not perfection. This is what is meant by working the program.
Thank you, Naomi. We should close the door, do you think? Hi, this is the 10:45 session on Saturday. Keep it simple. The references to Reflections of Hope, reading 105. I've been in Essanon about 7 years ago. My first discovery was 10 years ago. I didn't want to deal with any of this stuff. I was working full time and said, "I'm not. It's your problem. I'm not interested. Go away." Enough problems. We've already been through alcohol treatment, and I'm not dealing with this stuff. So another year went by, and I was getting more and more resentful and angry. And finally, another year went by, or part of a year, and I said, "Well, maybe we could do marriage counseling." And I called the therapist who was a CSAT and started talking to him. I went, "Oh, my God, I need to talk to you. I can't even imagine sitting in a room with you so to discuss our marriage." So I ended up seeing the CSAT, and eventually we went to another program retreat for a day, and that was kind of a surprise to me to see that. And then my therapist was a speaker at a speaker meeting. And I went and I found out about Essanon, which I didn't really know anything about Essanon. My husband was at the time attending the other S program. And so I went to this meeting at Bellevue and said, "Okay," I heard her speech and went, I get it. I can relate to you, and this makes sense. So then I started working in the program. I had attended a bit of Al-Anon after my husband was in alcohol treatment, but I never thought it fit. I couldn't understand why. I had a good family. I had a good job. I didn't think that I should be there, so I didn't really go to Al-Anon. Just didn't make sense to me. And then this came, and I went to Al-Anon, but I liked the people. I liked what, you know, I liked how they talked, and I liked how they related, and how open they were, and how sharing and caring and kind, and they were. It turned out a year and a half ago, I found out that my husband had been lying the whole time and was not in any recovery. And I sent him down to treatment center down here. And so now we're starting over again. But I have stayed active in the program. You know, we all survived COVID and all of that. So this reading, this topic, I was asked to do it. I didn't really pick it, but it was fine. And I read the readings, and we'll read them in just a moment. But I looked at it, and I said, wait, this doesn't really apply to me. And I couldn't quite understand, you know, how it related to keeping it simple. So, but let's read it right now. Do any of you have your books? Okay. Do you want to come up and read it? It's on 105.
Okay.
Oops, sorry.
April 14th, the power of healthy choices. Long before joining Essanon, isolation was a way of life for me. Isolating myself from others perpetuated my magical thinking that maybe things would get better at home. Consequently, I did not face my fears and take responsibility for my choices. Isolation and ignoring the effects of living with sexaholism enabled me to hide from the reality of my life and the unproductive way I was parenting my daughter. Isolation had become an unhealthy habit. Essanon gave me back the power of healthy choices. Now I can choose to reach out by calling my sponsor regularly, and I encourage my sponsees to do the same. I volunteer for service at meetings, which gives me that extra nudge to show up and break my isolation. There are other options, too. I can have the World Service Office put me in contact with Essanon members in other communities. I can attend Essanon conventions, where I am reminded that my local group and I are connected to a bigger fellowship. Writing a daily 10th step increases my awareness of what is happening inside me and helps clear up little misunderstandings that motivate my isolation. I can use the slogans, "This too shall pass," and "How important is it?" Most importantly, I can ask my higher power for help when I wake up and remember to say thank you to God before I fall asleep. Isolating complicates my life. Choosing to stay out of isolation through working my program helps me keep it simple. Further reflections. Rarely have we seen a person who was not greatly benefited by working the Essanon program.
Thanks. Thanks, Naomi. So I read that reading, and I couldn't quite understand why it was to keep it simple. And I looked at it, and I said, well, I never isolated. I had a lot of friends. I had a career. I had a professional life. I did a lot of professional activities. I still had friends that I saw that were from high school. I had become close to... I was an accountant, and when I started, there were very few women in the profession, so we actually had a women accountants organization that I ended up having, you know, making a lot of lifelong friends now because we had so much in common. And I thought, well, I don't isolate, and you know, what does that have to do with keeping it simple? So I called my sponsor and said, and asked her for help because I said, I don't know, you know, how to relate to that topic. And she said, well, there's two, she called me back and said, okay, there's two other readings that really apply to you. She said, look on page 143 and 282. And those were really applied to me. And they talk about busyness and that, you know, keeping yourself busy to stay away from and not dealing with your problems. And those, and I mean, we might want to read those later because they certainly helped me. And that's what I did. I worked all the time. I was a CPA. I used that as an excuse to not be home because, oh, I'm I'm important and I have a lot of work and it's tax season and I can't be home. And I could just ignore what was going on in my relationship with my husband. You know, the one who suffered, of course, was my daughter. But I felt I was justified. It was important. There weren't very many women in the profession. I had to do that if I was going to succeed. And so if I just kept busy, I would be, you know, I was doing a good thing, and I was feeling very righteous about, you know, my busyness. But I, as she and I were talking about the topics, I went, what I did, I realized that I isolated emotionally. And it wasn't physically. I didn't stay home by myself, but I had all these people in my life, but I didn't share with anyone. No one knew about my husband's addictions because he was an alcoholic when I married him and had gone through treatment. I had a very challenging time with stepchildren. Then some terrible things happened, and I never shared that with anyone. No one knew. I was always, you know, looking like everything was okay, but I had no one to talk to. We've been married for 45 years, and for 35 of them, I didn't ever tell anyone about anything about what was going on with me. So I had never, you know, I read the isolation issue and I think, oh, that means staying home or not going anywhere, or, you know, but it also could mean, in my case, it really meant isolation emotionally and not sharing. And I certainly didn't share with my husband, and I didn't share with anyone else. I didn't do any therapy. I didn't do anything. So there's different brands of isolation. And so it was kind of a surprise that I had it. That was a wake-up call to me that I thought, oh, that I've isolated individually, personally or emotionally, not physically. And I guess the previous person who was leading the meeting, she said her definition of keep it simple is, she always tells her sponsees, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep one thing. Don't get so overwhelmed with so many things or so many parts to the program that just, you know, the little slogans, one day at a time, and keep it simple and work on one thing. And somebody was talking earlier about baby steps at the program. It takes a long time to get the program and to really get somewhere. And I think that's sort of the idea of not getting overwhelmed with how much material there is and how many steps there are and how long it's going to take to do them. And just do your best every single day. So just to remind you, this is a recorded meeting. Essanon will be distributing member recordings to carry this message in the spirit of Step 12. Members share from their own experience and do not represent Essanon as a whole. We encourage listeners to take what you like and leave the rest. So we hear before sharing. Okay, sorry. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. Please come to the front of the room if you would like to share. Please remember there's no crosstalk. That is, we share with the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. Our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves, not the sexaholic. I think we don't have a problem with time, so we will just let it be. You can talk as long and as often as you would like, and we call it double dipping at our meeting. So just come up and speak, so it'll be recorded on the.
Hi, I'm Naomi. Keeping it simple is hard for me. I had no idea. I was looking at how much time it took me just to make dinner. I was spending hours making dinner, and it finally dawned on me. It was because I was making it so complicated. You have to put this like this, and then you have to let it soak for so many, and so on and so forth, and it was just way, way too complicated. And so now I'm trying to keep it a little bit more simple. And then another thing crept up. I have a bag obsession, and I have, you know, the going to church bag, the going to meeting bag, the going to work bag, the going home bag, the going to store bag. I have a lot of bags. Do I really need that many bags? So I'm trying to keep it simple. I just need one bag that goes everywhere so that I don't end up at the wrong place saying, oh, whoops, I left my driver's license in the other bag. And I'm working on trying to keep other parts of my life just keeping it simple. There are some times when I have made this very complex, okay, we're going to do our laundry on this special day, and sometimes if I'm really good at not making any dirty clothes, I can go for an extra day or two, and I sometimes like to complicate my life by making sure that it's done on the perfect day so that it all gets done. And I have more time if I just keep it simple. If I don't have such a rigid schedule, rigid life, rigid thoughts, and then I have a better chance of connecting with my husband, my children, my fellows, and getting out of my isolation because I'm not making life so complicated that I have no time for anyone else. And I am enjoying spending that time, being able to make it less complicated and having time to maybe walk around the block holding somebody's hand or taking a moment to go to the park with a grandchild instead of cooking dinner, fussing about how many, what I need to go shopping for. I would love to just sit and obsessively look at all of the social media posts, and I need to keep that simple too. Just make it a very simple once a day deal and let go of all of the compulsive tendencies to just look. I need to snoop. I need to look. I need to see. Has somebody posted something since I looked 5 minutes ago? Who cares? I need to keep things simple and spend time with the people around me, the people that need me, the people that care about me. And I need to create those relationships of love. And with that, I'll let somebody else have a turn.
Thanks, the elder.
Hi, I'm Erica.
Hi.
Through working this program, I have learned that I'm a chaos creator. And so keeping it simple does not come naturally to me. It's in my tendencies and definitely defects of character to jam-pack my days, like fill every window with something, like a phone call, an errand, a meeting, anything. I will wait until the last possible second to leave my house and then decide that I should get gas and then decide, you know, I'm always running late for things. I just am, or historically, that's what I've done. And through working this program, I've really learned to appreciate and relish giving myself time and leaving myself time for error. So giving myself cushions and so I have time to get gas or I have time to be more present on a phone call and things like that. And I came to this meeting today because I feel like in these convention settings, it's really easy to dive into all of this information. There's so much literature. There's so many meetings. It's really easy to become overwhelmed or overloaded. And I was keeping it simple. That sounds like something that is just a really excellent grounding point. I also really love that this is a small meeting. It feels really calm and peaceful and that there's time to just be here. I feel like when I keep it simple, there's more space and time to be present with my higher power. Like when I'm filling my day and creating all of that chaos, like there's no room not only for error, but also for connection, because I'm just like going so fast that there's no time for anything else. And in making a different decision to like slow down and keep it simple, simplify my day, simplify my life, I find that there's more connection to God. And that feels really good. So yeah, just like more of that. I think that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane. I was toggled between this meeting and hope in the higher power. And I actually went to the other one. I sat down and I was like, you know, I have hope in the higher power. I just don't know how to make my life simple. So I thought, this is the meeting I need instead. So here I am. And the reading actually applied to me. I'm very isolated, and I don't have a lot of friends, although I do a lot of things. I am involved with a lot of things with a lot of people, but I don't give myself emotionally. People don't know about what's going on with me, except in this group. No one in my family really know about what happened with my husband and I and with the situations. And I, ever since this happened, and I'm on this journey for almost 4 years, and I focus completely on him, and I make it really hard for both of us. So instead of, you know, I know the slogan, one day at a time, and we pray about that. You know, he pray about his sobriety just only for the next 24 hours. And I'm grateful for just that one day. But yet, I make things very complicated by making sure that we involve in so many programs. I have us doing couple program. I have us both seeing different CSAT, and then, you know, we see a specialty for this, a specialty for that, doing intensive here, intensive for him, intensive for me, intensive for couple. I just do way too much. And I signed up like 4 or 5 different class, and we have to attend to the point that I'm actually stressed out from all the stuff that I signed us in, because there's just not enough time. But I'm so focused on recovery, and I feel that if we don't do all of these things, we can't recover. But if I look at the schedule, you know, and he has his job full time, and I have my business, it's almost impossible for us to. So I'm actually add more stress into our life, and that's the reason I'm coming to this meeting, because I need to hear how other people trying to keep it simple. I need to talk about my ridiculousness of trying to stay in recovery, and I add more stuff into my life that making recovery that much harder. So if I'm just, so today, working my program, I just have to learn to do like the step, one step at a time. And, you know, I did all the step, and that was not enough. Now I have to do it 3 times. I'm ready to do it the 4 times. So that way, just in case, if I miss any other resentment, if things are different, maybe I think I need to learn to relax and enjoy life a little bit and not learn to be and let other people into my life. Right now, the only people that I feel safe are this program, or the SNN. This is where I get to talk. This is where I get people to know who I am. But my friends and everyone else, I don't trust anyone anymore. And I don't trust my husband. I don't trust anything. But I think it's time for me to learn to relax and let it go and learn to keep it simple. So thanks for letting me share.
I think we'll now read the reading on page 143 if you happen to have your Reflections of Hope. Oh, here, you want to borrow mine? I think that's... Let me see. That's what she said. Okay, it's 143, May 22nd. I complicated my life with busyness. I never thought of the slogans as a tool to help me in my recovery from the effects of sexaholism. That all changed for me when I heard another member share about Keep It Simple and how that slogan had been such a help to her. Hearing this helped me to stop and reflect on whether I was applying this in my life. It prompted me to take an inventory of my daily activities, obsessive thinking, and the decisions I face. A direct result of this inventory was discovering that I often stay incredibly busy to distract myself from uncomfortable feelings or to avoid decisions I do not want to make. Today, I can still clutter my life with too many activities, too many thoughts, as well as looking for complicated answers. But I can now stop before I go overboard and hurt myself through busyness. Sexaholism is only one of the challenges in my life. The fact that I complicate my life by keeping too busy and extending myself beyond my personal limits is challenging. And whether or not I choose to live with an active sexaholic. Applying the slogan, Keep It Simple, is a way of taking care of myself and letting God do the rest. Further reflections. Slogans help many of us focus our thoughts on positive attitudes, especially during difficult and stressful times. Although at first they may seem trite or too simplistic, they are a form of shorthand, easily remembered in times of need, that bring to mind important principles of recovery. So as I heard some of the shares, I was thinking about, well, one, I always worked a lot, and then I came home and I took care of everything at home and paid the bills and arranged everything and made all the appointments and did everything. And when we would travel, I would just go berserk. You know, I had to do everything and I had to take care of everything and nobody could get anything right. And I was so stressed and I was so crabby and, you know, I'd be mad at everybody and nobody was getting it right. And I had to get everything together. And it's like, oh my God, I made life pretty miserable for me and certainly for everybody around me. And even this morning, it was two things about this convention. I had signed up to do a bunch of different things, you know, and they wrote back and said, okay, well, you can work registration tomorrow afternoon, and then you could lead these sessions, and then the person selling literature said, could I work? And I went, oh, my God, boundaries, what am I doing? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I can't at least sell the literature. Why did I sign up for all those things? Well, it was kind of too much. And so that same thing. And then this morning, my husband was left the room before I did. And then I was trying to say, just meet me at lunch. Because, you know, just if you get there first, get a table and tell me where you are. And then it got all complicated. And he was trying to figure out which room I was in, what room he was in. And da-da-da-da. I mean, why in the room I was going to be in, he wasn't on his schedule. And I was like, it's not that, you know, it's my schedule. Just be there at noon. And because I am part of the finance committee and we have to collect Seventh Tradition at noon. And I got things to do. And like, oh, my gosh. Never even thought about the keeping it simple was part of what I was supposed to be doing. So I did at least say no to the literature. But it's really all those little stopping and not taking on. And when he came back from treatment, I had to do this boundary list. It was kind of for my safety or my emotional safety. But I never, as I'm sitting here thinking about this, I sort of need boundaries on my own activities and what I'm doing. And part of it is, I'm important and people need me and it feels good to volunteer and I'm pretty, and I'm retired. And I love it. It's great not working, but I don't need to do everything in the world for Essanon or whatever else I'm involved in. And it's really important to stop and take a look at where you are and do you really need to be doing all those things you're doing and maybe even why are you doing? I mean, I think I was doing a lot of it for my own ego, that I needed to be important and wanted, and it made me feel good. And I was, some of the things that's nice, I can volunteer and do that, but it also is making it crazy around me, because I'm like, I have all these things to do, and you need to get out of my way because I have to leave, and da 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 da. Doesn't make life very pleasant. So I hadn't thought before about this fact that, maybe I need boundaries of my own, rather than not related to his behavior or what I'm willing to put up with, but how I want to be. Several weeks ago at a meeting, I went, oh my gosh, why don't I choose to be happy? Why can't I choose to relax and enjoy life instead of kind of looking at the bad side of things and expecting the worst and feeling like I need to take care of everything? I have a choice. I could say, I could just be happy. I have a great life. I like what I do. Life's good right now. Why am I still running this circle and not being happy and trying to find outside things to make me happy? Why can't I just say, hey, I like life. I like me. I like what I'm doing. So I think there's more to that truth than that. Keep it simple for a whole lot of different ways. So if we've got lots of time, if anybody else wants to share again or tell another story, or you're more than welcome.
Thanks for sharing, and thank you for this topic. This reading is exactly describing me. And my sharing earlier, and that is so true about busyness. I before I come into this program, I didn't realize that there is the sex addict's problems, and I know he has a problem. And when I found my program with Essanon and reading the problem, I realized that, oh my God, there is me with so many of the Essanon problems of trying to control, of trying to making everything dry, and now that he's sick, and now it's on me to make sure that he's recovered so I can be safe. And so, again, with the busyness, I feel that if we keep doing as much recovery work as possible every waking moment, from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed, it's all about working the program, then we are okay. And it doesn't work that way. I think what that does is it gives me a false sense of safety, but there is no safety there. And that is the reason why the addict was born to begin with. Because, for the addicts, for my addicts, he stayed busy, busy, busy to tell himself that, he's taking care of the family, he's doing everything's right, and it's okay for him to have this little thing as long as no one knows about this. and then it come out. And for me, is I stay busy. I stay busy with the family. I stay busy taking care of everyone. Stay busy doing the recovery to make sure that we are staying sobriety and in recovery. But what that does is now it's caused the SNN program problem in me, in a sense that now I feel justified to go into rage, into go into anger when things are not recovering like the way I expect things to be recovering, or looking at him and see where he's at, and I, you know, just like him, allow himself to take that destructive choice. And for me to allow myself to take the destructive choice of anger and rage, and it's because my life is not where I think it needs to be for me to feel safe. So the busyness, and I think it's the same thing we both doing that and keeping ourselves busy and allow ourselves that choice is not the way that it needs to be anymore. So today, I learned to, it's okay. It's okay to that he can have his own opinion. It's okay that I can have my own, that I don't have to control and he has to think like I do. It's okay that we can take a break. We don't have to work the program every second for me to feel safe. And it's okay to choose joy, and you know, I'm always on guard, and I'm afraid to laugh. I'm afraid to be happy because I was like, you know, what if a relapse happened? Well, if it's happened, we'll take care of that. You know, it's too late for that now, so it's okay. I can laugh, and there's so much with this, and the reading really speak to me. So, thank you so much for my share again.
Erica, do you want to read 282? You want to come up and read 282? Because it's another common problem.
Hi, I'm Erica. This is Reflections of Hope, page 282, October 8th. Keep it simple. After a year in recovery, I decided to leave my marital home and divorce my spouse. I was fortunate to be in a very good financial position, so many options were open to me. I obsessed about those options, particularly where to move to find the perfect larger new home. Questions raced through my thoughts. What school district should I live in? How much square footage would be adequate? Could I really live without a fireplace? How much larger would I need my kitchen to be? After I thought I had it all figured out, I approached my then 3-year-old son and asked him how he would feel about us moving to a nice big new house. He looked at me and replied, "Mom, will the ice cream truck still come there?" His innocent question abruptly brought me back to reality and reminded me to keep it simple. Things didn't have to be big or breathtaking to be wonderful. I was humbled and I let go of my obsession over bigger and better. So often my higher power speaks to me through the mouths of my children. SNN is teaching me to be still enough to listen. Further reflections. The more I came to meetings and began working the SNN program, the more I saw the real wisdom in the simple sayings. Act as if and keep it simple are surprisingly practical and helped me through difficult, emotionally draining situations. Working the SNN program, second edition, page 51.
Thanks, Erica. Keep it simple also means you don't have to go to every session from 7:20 to 10:30 at night. You know, take a break, go for a walk, you'll clear your mind. I think we all get so, feel like I have to do this and I need to be at all the sessions and I need to do that. And part of it is, and I think it's really a daily activity to kind of say, can I simplify this? Do I need to be all wigged out about it. Several years ago, when we would travel somewhere, and finally my husband said, you know, virtually everything you can buy, there's very few places that you travel that you can't buy a toothbrush or a toothpaste or whatever you may have forgotten. Because I was like, oh, I got to make sure we have everything. And, you know, I've got to make sure everybody's got everything. And it was so stressful. And like, or you didn't need it. You know, you either didn't need five pairs of jeans or you could go to the store and buy the toothpaste unless you're traveling somewhere very remote. So, you know, stay in reality, too, is kind of, I think, simple, too, instead of imagining every worst-case scenario. So I appreciate all of your comments, and makes me stop and really think about how do I stay keeping it simple, and how do I not get so stressed out and feel like there's so much I need to get done and only I can do it. It's surprising how people are willing to help when you ask. So... yep, we can. Okay, we can close. This is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity. The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside this meeting, including to spouses or family members. They are told so that we might better understand this program and ourselves, and to give encouragement and help to the newcomer, so we may keep what we have been given. Okay, let's do the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works, and we work it, so work it because
you're worth it.
Yeah. We need to figure out how to make it all uniform.
I know.
Mine is a little bit more simple, and just work it, you're worth it, and then we have that.
Oh, we say work it because you're worth it.
But I've heard something else, too. Some people say more. There's one more sentence.
Work it because you're worth it.
Thanks for being here. Okay, ask the recording volunteer to stop the host of recording volunteer. Yeah, Leo, come. Yeah, he's Lee. He's the head guy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Okay, I pressed the button, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
Yeah, he'll come in, hopefully. The other one. Put this bag in order. Welcome.